Pardon? How exciting. I know how to turn on the podcast so that we can record. My name is Tricia. I'm one of the reference librarians, and this is actually the fourth in our series of workshops on the top 10 things Longhorn librarians wish you knew when you came to the first. And you don't have to copy this down. I do have the PowerPoint presentation as a handout that you can pick up after the end of the class. What I am talking about is legal research, strategic deep searching as a process. So I will discuss a number of different sources, but what I am actually wanting to accomplish is to show what the different sources are, the decisions, some of the items that you need to consider when you make a decision on what source to use, and how you can move through your research process to feel comfortable with the results that you obtain. So that's why I'm saying legal research as a process. Now, one of the things that I like to liken the legal research to is the worm oral norms. Does anybody read science fiction? Does anybody know what the worm oral norms is? This might give you a clue. It is a snake eating its tail. So sort of what you have is this idea of the legal research. You have a not always clearly identified starting point, but you come through, you have your, essentially you have a fact situation. You must organize those facts and create some sort of analysis, determining your keywords. You begin your research. You evaluate your research. You refine your questions, your keywords, your research process, and you can go back to your analysis, and it keeps on feeding. It is a circle. So, actually, one of the first things you want to think about is, what is your procedural posture? This is for legal lease here, but it is here. Where are you in this process? Is this a new client? Are you getting background information on the client? Corporate law firms do that all the time. You're always getting background information. Are you writing a memo brief to determine whether or not there is an arguable question of law? That's still early on in the process, but that's really sort of your legal analysis issue. You decided that you do have something that you can litigate. You get into litigation analysis. If you are either in litigation and you have a motion practice, or you have finished litigation and you want to appeal whatever the decision is, there's a difference in the type of analysis that you will perform, a different process depending on where you are at the beginning, middle, or the end. So, if this seems simple here, but the first thing I want to do is, what am I trying to accomplish? And this is in the top 10 article, which I believe is posted on the TWIN website, is the question is, do you understand your assignment, what you're trying to do? Here you see your purpose or goals, client intake, the legal menu, document drafting, what kind of document drafting are you interested in, pleadings or briefs. Here again, it's going to depend where you are in the process. So when you're starting there, you get the big picture. It's kind of like, what do I know? You're knowing timelines and facts. What do I need to know? And as always, you're going there, probably going to be some facts there that are not really germane to your particular question or what you are trying to do. They may be relevant, you know, if you are in a big, complex litigation, there may be several associates working on this problem. Now, you want to understand how things fit together, but these questions may be germane to what the associate over here is working on, but not to what you are working on. So this is where it comes into, what is my assignment? What is my purpose, and how does it fit into the big picture? So here again, you identify your information needs. Coming in here with your client, what do you know about your client? What do you know about the proposed opposition, what you're trying to do? This can work with litigation. This can work with contract drafting. You're working on a buy-sell agreement. You want to know the background on not only your client, but also the individual company on which they are engaged in writing a contract. So you do your issue spotting, your information needs. Is it background information? Is it a legal issue or analysis? So here, this is, think of this in terms of law school's exams, issue spotting. What are your issues? And then you go back and you think, what did the professor ask about that issue and the answer he wants? Now, I know that there are some faculty here that, you know, they very much want you to focus in the question they ask, and there are others who kind of like what we always refer to as the dump truck method, that once you answer that question, you throw in everything else for extra points. But here, this is talking about legal practice. You want to focus in on what you are doing. Here, this is just ask rule. It's an old Hopi acronym that floated around back when I was in law school. But thinking about here, things that you might want to consider asking your assigning partner, what jurisdiction is this? Is this a state or a federal matter? Do they have any useful tips? Here again, the scope of the question, understanding your assignment, any terms of art, acronyms that may come up. Yeah, terms of art and acronyms are right there. Sources. Is there something, and when we go to our example, there's actually a basic source that's kind of the Bible on this issue, and this source will come up over and over. Key cost constraints. If you've attended any of these other workshops, and if you go to the program tomorrow, you will understand that cost is always, always, always a consideration in a firm, even the big firms. And what they will tell you is understand your Lexis Westlaw contracts. Know what they have available, because they do look at cost. And every year that they come in, there's always somebody, you know, they will come in and tell you, who runs up these tremendous bills on Lexis and Westlaw, and you can't charge it to the client. Firms don't like that. So cost, you know, right now, you don't see it here. You paid for it already. That's why you have Total Lexis Westlaw, and we say learn how to use it now. The cost is always important. Time constraints. Initial considerations. How quickly is this needed? Is this something that they need by the end of the day, or do you have a week on it? Time constraints. This can also go into cost, because remember, it's not just Lexis and Westlaw. It is your time. You are billing your time. So when you are looking at sources, you want to find that source that is going to get it to you the most quickly and the least expensively. Resources available. This is going to depend on where you are. Some firms here, you know, you're not going to have a choice. They depend on Lexis and Westlaw. It's electronics. That's it. They don't have the books. They're going to have they may have other electronic resources available here. The scope of coverage. What is covered in this book? How up to date? The credibility. This is one of the things here. I love Google. I use it all the time. But I'm also very concerned about where I end up on a Google search. Or, if possible, I know exactly where I want to go and what source that I'm looking at. Is it a credible source? Remember, anybody can put anything up on the web. So, and I've seen some really cool websites that are from less than credible sources. So you have to be careful. Here again, the ease and efficacy of access. Everybody likes to sit down in front of their computer and do that. Truth of the matter is, if you are here at Hofstra and the sources, print sources available, it's not really all that hard to go and pull it off the shelf either. Ease and efficacy of reading and retention. This is changes from individual to individual. I'm of an older generation. I find it easier to read and retain something in a print book. I somehow suspect that's not the same for all of you. So that's something that's going to depend on your preference. So here, possible strategies is starting with the secondary resource. Encyclopedias, loose leaves. That's if you don't know anything about a source. You want background information. This is, say, researching. Well, actually, there are a lot of print sources to find information on companies, but at that point, I would probably refer to an electronic. But the legal issue, you don't know anything about it. You might want to just start with the print source to get the overview and learn the key terms. The other thing is, say your partner gives you that one good case. There are strategies that you can use, especially if you're using electronic resources and you have Keysight and Shepherd's, to expand from that one good case into secondary sources and other ways. So how you want to begin is probably going to depend on what you know and what you are trying to accomplish. Most of the time, you're going to end up with what I call strategies combined, where you've gone into that secondary source and they all keep referring to the same case, and that's pretty much the idea that this is an important case, and you can then expand it from there. So what we are looking through is Don't Tase Me, Bro. You all remember the incident? Don't Tase Me, Bro? Yeah, that was a student in a Florida university, John Kerry, was speaking, pushed his way to the front of the line, would not leave the microphone. Public safety, police, security came down and had to take him, were taking him away, and he ended up being tasered, but before they did, it was Don't Tase Me, Bro. It was sort of a buzzword for this time. So he's walked into your, you know, calls your office and wants to know whether or not he has a Section 1983 action. Now, this is Section 1983 is excessive use for a lot of things, but at this point it would be for excessive use of force by the police. Well, here it is, what we did here. As you can see, the first thing I did is, you know, I knew a little bit about it, so I just went to Google and I found myself some of the news articles to get a little more background information, find out a little more about this individual, who the parties were involved, because what you want to do is, if you came over here, I found an article down here in Wired magazine, you know, pretty good source here, that was talking about the incident, that lets you know the journalism student who had a record of playing pranks to gain attention at the school, that, you know, John Kerry was there trying to say, I will answer the questions, let's not escalate, all these things here. But one of the other things that I found in here that was good, useful background information was the reference to the Taser Association. Now, if you were wanting background information, don't you think going to an organization, the Taser Association, that deals with this might be a good thing to know about? So that's finding out a little bit here. And that was just all, you know, this first phase of Google search. I didn't go far. And it's like I said, Google is a wonderful source, but you need to make sure that you don't spend a great deal of time on it if you're not finding your references. You could then go from here and go on to Lexis or Westlaw, whichever you prefer, and do additional searching in the news databases on those sources to find what the newspapers were saying. So this is getting background information on your client, what was occurring at the event, the school venue, and the police involved. You know, it could be, you know, if it was university security, you know, my question would be, well, university, was it a state university or a private university, and would they then be applicable under a 1983 litigation question? So here, this is just your initial background gathering. I will also say at this point, looking here, you identify other resources available. This I went to our homepage to show not just Lexis and Westlaw, but some of our other electronic resources that we have, you may want to consider. Now, actually, for this particular instance, many of our resources are not that good, but I will relate here. I was at a conference or workshop, actually just that last week, on law firm librarians talking about training young associates. And Debevoise actually has a mandatory training session. And the individual there was telling us the recent incident from a young associate. I saw the individual on Monday morning, wanted to know, you know, how they were. It was like, you know, I was here all weekend. It's a typical partner dropped an assignment on my desk just, you know, before 5 p.m. on Friday, and I was here all weekend researching to find the long-term debt of a company. And, you know, I was looking in the annual reports and SEC filing, and he just looked, and, you know, all weekend, and I pulled all these things together, and he just looked, and he said, well, let me show you something, and took them to the Debevoise portal, showed her Emergent Online, which Axon Library also subscribes to. You just type in the name of the company. One of the reference links to it is for long-term debt. You click on that link, and it pulls out and creates a PDF of the long-term debt statement for that particular company. It took them a minute and a half. So this is where learning to identify your resources is just what it is. You come in, you don't know. You didn't look at the portal. You didn't ask one of the librarians here. You just spent your weekend. And you could have done it in less than 2 minutes. So this is why we keep saying, look at alternative resources. See what you have available. So the one thing that I did was then on the online catalog was I just typed in 1983 litigation, and as you can see up, I retrieved 62 hits. So this is 62 print documents, and what I want to point out here, there is, let me keep this on zero, this is section 1983 litigation. It is a multi-volume treatise. I am holding the volume on jury instructions. There is another volume. Oops. I guess I just took the jury instructions here. Like I said, this is a multi-volume treatise on the subject. It is your Bible. You will find your secondary analysis. You will find your statute. You will find your case law in this treatise. At every step of the way, wherever you are in the process, you would be wanting to use this set. It is not online. But if you're at a firm that does that, they will have it. Given that Section 1983 refers to 42 U.S.C. 1983, another wonderful source is your annotated code. Here again, you've got your book in print. Do you want me to hand these materials around, or you can come and look at them afterwards? Annotations, case law, law reviews. This one volume of the code is only Section 1983. So as you can see, you have in this one volume a wonderful starting place. And it's a good bet your firm has this in hard copy. So you can just go pull it off the shelf. I have selected print resources, depending on what you're doing. Client intake, essential forms. We keep this on reserve. We hand it out quite frequently for the legal drafting class. It is also likely that your firm, especially if you are in a big firm, will have their own client intake forms, which you would be using. This goes back to identify your resources. You were wanting to expand your case law. Here again, you could go to Federal Digest to get an idea of the case law and how it is organized. If you're looking here, legal issues, and then in, whether or not you're going into litigation, this is called causes of action. And they have a section 1983 cause of action section in here. And what it does is it takes you step by step through the analysis of what you need to have a section 1983 litigation action. This is also on Westlaw. See if you were going with litigation. And here again, it goes back to our what do we know, what do we need to know. You had certain information that the client could give you that you could get from other information sources, but there are probably a lot of other questions that you would want to ask. Discovery. Have any of you taken any sort of trial litigation workshop? You know, discovery, interrogatories, EBTs. All this, we have the set vendor's forms of discovery. With about that, they have a section on 1983 litigation that gives you a template for questions. You don't reinvent the wheel. People have been there. They have done that. We have the sources. Coming up here, just this is sort of duplication, deposition strategy. Here, on what sort of questions you would want to ask if you were going into litigation, or that you needed to know to discover whether or not you had a cause of action. We have, with one of the state's federal procedural forms, you are drafting up a complaint. The Section 1983 treatise I showed you actually has a number of volumes that deal with complaints and the pleadings. This is another source that does that. And then just generally, if we were wanting to learn something you have going on at appellate level, this is just a winning on appeal. So all of these are just your print resources. Now, the advantages of print, you should know with this here, is if they have it in the office, it's cost effective. They are updated generally annually. Some of them may be updated more frequently. Online is faster, but print does get updated. That you have a controlled vocabulary, where if you come in and you say this, you can track it through. It's sort of a closed system. Print is a closed system that refers from source to source to source, so that you can work your way through it. And it's like, okay, you've checked this, you've checked here, you've gone through all of these things. You see the same code section come up. At this point, we knew the code section. You see the same cases come up. You see the same analysis over and over. This is giving you reassurance that, yes, you are on the right track. It is a closed system. Now, one of the things here is if you're coming into the books and you are not finding what you're looking for quickly, that's also a pretty big clue that maybe my analysis is not quite right. and I need to rethink and relook at some of the keywords and key concepts that I am thinking of. And then I went here, this is just indexed to legal periodicals, and just finding background resources, law review articles are our friends, footnotes, analysis, background, with these things here, on the police use of tasers, if anybody has written on it. It is actually a fairly new topic, so there was not a great deal out there in law review land. So I went to Lexis and Westlaw, and here again it's identify your resources on Lexis and Westlaw. What I had done here is on Lexis I went to the search. I didn't go into case law. Notice I didn't go into case law. I went into the secondary search here to find their background information on 1983 litigation, and they actually walk you through it, and you can select for treatises, you can select for case law, you can select for forms, you can combine all of those, and it will then give you a presentation saying this is what you have in analytical material and case materials, and look and see what is useful to it. On Westlaw, in the, I would use the Database Wizard. Did I use Database Wizard? No, I went through the subject searching, find it by area of practice with that here, and that's what they have on 1983 litigation. So seeing here, these are what you have available, and remember, this may be all that you have in your firm. But you can go to an area that is focused on your particular issue. Starting with case law, when you don't know anything about it, it's not always the best way to go. Especially if that's not what you were asked to do. But here we come, after saying that, what do I do? Is I did go to an All Feds database here, and I did a search of police. The same paragraph of taser in the same sentence as excessive force. Well, I already knew that police and taser were involved, but I retrieved the term excessive force in the work that I did in the background, but I knew that this is what it was called, you know, the causes of action. So that was actually something that if I had not known, or someone had not given me that term, I could have spent some time going around trying to locate it. But looking here, just with Westlaw, you have your case law, of course, it's highlighted. Decisions. With this here, just looking at their head notes. Now, remember, with what you're looking for, you can learn to combine use of the head notes. You have your head notes here with excessive force, civil rights in general. And you can search that head note to your fact-specific pattern. So you are actually using the subject-oriented method developed for print that migrated online and adding that online bonus of searching for specific words. Results Plus, here again, this is another way to go through with your ALRs. Background information, general encyclopedia, just to see what else is out there. And here again, you should be using multiple sources to double check, to make sure that your analysis is staying on target and that you are picking up the best sources. Keysight. Remember, Keysight and Shepherd's are not just to show you if this is still good case law. Does anybody know how to limit Keysight? Anybody heard of limiting Keysight? Okay. Well, what I did is I found a good case on there here. There were 300-some references to it, but I was only interested in the head note that dealt with arrest and detention. So I went in and I selected for the head note I wanted. I could have selected my jurisdiction for the type of material, but I selected for head note and depth of treatment. I only wanted those references that dealt with this specific issue and gave it a specific depth of treatment, 3 and 4 stars. That's what those are here. And reduced that from 368 documents to 40. All of them much more focused to my specific issue. So this is coming in with your resources, learning to use your resource effectively. Is anyone here taking the certification courses for Lexis and Westlaw? If you have not, you can check on the My Law School for Lexis and Westlaw, see what their schedules are. And at some time during your law school career, we strongly recommend that you take those courses because this would be something that they could show you. Okay, so we come to our results on Lexis. I did the same search on Lexis in the roughly equivalent database. So here again, it gives you the overview of the case. You're all familiar with the Lexis screen. And the advantage of this is you can then scroll through the site list and determine whether or not you want to look at that particular case. So there, and the advantage here, remember when I was talking about procedural posture? They will tell you what the procedural posture is on this. Is it an appellate case? Well, this one was actually on a motion for summary judgment. So if that's what you were looking for, because you're going to have a different standard of review for a motion for summary judgment than you do have on the appellate. So remember, procedural posture is important, and they tell you that right up front. You can actually even search by procedural posture, but I didn't do that. Shepherds, just looking at the Shepherds here, it shows you with the distinguished, followed, giving you a breakdown of the full citations. I did not do it here, but you can actually focus, restrict by, and do with Shepherds the same sort of limiting function that you did on Westlaw to target your results. This is just sort of a very quickly advantages, disadvantages of print. And I thought that I had indented that, but here, one of the big disadvantages with print is when you do have that information and you are looking for a very specific case fact situation, it's much harder to pinpoint than it is online. It's kind of like print can get you to the correct haystack and then you move online to help you find that needle in the haystack. Here again, advantages, disadvantages of online. Big disadvantage is cost. Brought this down here. Like I said, we don't worry about it in law school, but at firm, they talk about it all the time. We were in the GenFed and the on Lexis, the AllFeds on Westlaw. They have, you get charged for everything. They have basically 2 primary methods. Here again, it's learning your law firm's contract, but transactional or time. Transactional is for each search, there is a cost. On Lexis and GenFeds, it's $124 per search in that database. On Westlaw, it is $106 per search. Do not make a typo. I'm not kidding. You make a typo, you've just done a search. You have to go back and correct it. You do a new search, you will be charged for another search. There are costs. If you are doing hourly, GenFed is essentially $14 a minute. And Westlaw All Feds is $14.71 a minute. So as you can see, you can run up things real, real fast. This is why we say, remember what I said, know your jurisdiction? If you are interested only in New York federal case law, you're going to go to the New York federal case law database on Lexis and Westlaw and focus it there because that's a less expensive database. This is what I'm saying is learning your process, identify your resources, see what databases are available on Lexis and Westlaw so that when you are selecting them, you point it and target it to the resource that best fits your needs at this point. Here, okay, these are points to remember, we're almost to the end and we're even ending early, is remember, do you understand your assignment? Generally speaking, the rule of thumb is if you spend 15 or 20 minutes researching your assignment and you are not retrieving results that you are happy with or that you feel are answering your question, stop your research and go and ask somebody. Because you may be missing something. Come back to this Just Ask rule. Go talk to your librarian. If you have a librarian, go back and talk to the assigning partner and say, I've looked at this and I'm not coming up with anything. Just as, you know, with that here. Your time is money. So you go back and ask. Here again, what are your information needs? What is your step in the process? Are you doing a client evaluation and intake? So you're going to be looking for the information needs, information resources, very closely tied together. Because you will want to match your resources to your information needs. You know, here again, if your law firm has a standard form that they go and use for every single client, you need to know that on information resources and use it to satisfy that need. Do you know how to use your electronic sources effectively? I think I pointed out a few things on Lexis and Westlaw you maybe didn't know about and hadn't thought about. With the other, going back to the young associate doing the long-term debt, her electronic resources, it was an online resource. Double Blood has a huge portal. I was envious of all of the resources they had. Many firms that do corporate work have all of these things here. So you would go and pinpoint the one. The other thing that it comes down to is some of these are not always the easiest things to use. Law firms, and I know that one of the speakers we will have tomorrow, his job essentially is to keep the young associates up to date in their training on the multiple resources, and sometimes selecting the one that's more appropriate for their needs. Have you used multiple resources? Sometimes, here again, that's not going to be essential. You're going to be told this is what you have to do, this is the resource you are going to use. With others, you're going to want to use, I pointed out, the Causes of Action treatise. There's also a treatise known as Proof of Facts, which is a very similar sort of set. These are the facts you must prove. The Section 1983 treatise I brought up was for jury instructions. Jury instructions, why would anyone look at jury instructions? Anybody have any idea? Well, of your case, because this is what you're telling the jury, that if you find this, this, and this, you must find for this. So you're looking and you're doing it here. Do I have this, this, and this? Multiple resources. Yes, there's going to be a lot of overlap, but there's also going to be a little bit of difference. I showed you two different sources for discovery, depending on what you have. And one of the things here, I know this sometimes happens with people asking for pleadings, especially wanting to write a complaint or wanting to write an answer. We have samples of those for many types of actions. None of them are going to be directly on point for what you need. That's why you come to law school, is to take this basic thing and say, this is what I have, this is how I have to modify it to do that. You know, if anybody could do that, we wouldn't be here. But this is what you're doing, is taking the information and looking at it. Multiple resources online. I was talking about here with one of the things Lexis and Westlaw present it differently. The Lexis has its litigation area. Westlaw has a lot of briefs online. Law firms have brief banks. Here again, what you would do is multiple resources, looking, has someone handled a case similar to what you're doing, and can I get the brief? Can I get the memoranda of the law that they wrote on it? Multiple resources. So what you're doing here is we're coming back to thinking through our process, our general fact. Don't taser me. Your analysis of this is the potential 1983 excessive use force by police. We're going to assume it's police. Your keywords, police, security, taser is obviously there, excessive force, arrest, detention. Those are words that I encountered while putting this together. Your keywords. I came in with research with some of these things here. I sort of jumped the process. I began my research with, actually I began it with the USCA and looking at the annotations, evaluated my results. I refined by discovering these keywords and went back to go online to narrow it into specifics. So at this point here, if you know you came in, your partner gave you a case that was directly on point, you might want to start with Keyside or Shepherd and looking at that, focusing in and limiting it to the areas you are interested in and finding the secondary resources from Keyside and Shepherd's. So here's what it is. It's a process. It is learning to think through what you are doing and what you are trying to accomplish so that you can touch base and refine it. I'll just reiterate, what are you trying to do? You know, what is your goal? What are you trying to accomplish? You know, if you're doing a memo of the law on whether or not you have a case, you're not going to be worrying about what is the standard of review on the appellate level. It's a simple thing. Most of us do it so automatically we don't even think about it. Looking at your resources, what do you have available? Finding the one that is most effective for you. As I said, it's going to change depending on what you're doing and where you are in the process. Okay, does anybody have any questions? Did I totally confuse you? No. Yes. Yes. Oh, you mean
how it works, you know, once you books or go online, how do I
with a okay, I know that one of our other librarians did an example using class actions. I haven't researched the whole thing, so I would come in, you know, she was a typicality of class actions. And don't ask me what that is because she researched it, I didn't, and I just talked to her about it. But the whole thing is, I would be looking here, and I have no idea what this is. We have a treatise called New Book on Class Actions, and I would start with the book to find the definition of typicality, to see if I can find a good case law on typicality. And if I were then writing, say, a memo on it of does this particular fact scenario we're looking for, gone to the treatise, gotten the case law, then, you know, I'd be really tempted to go online and Keyside or Shepherdize that case law. to find additional secondary analysis or expand on it in that direction. So it's moving, like I said here, if I'm doing something with, we were looking, you know, we're going to litigation and the discovery. And I mentioned in that earlier, you know, my client evaluation, I found that article with the Taser Association. Part of my discovery process would be to check out the website of the Taser Association and see what they said. So, in many respects, say there are two things I want you to remember. I'll repeat again. Know what your assignment is. And second, don't reduce your resources to Lexis and Westlaw. Especially if you are in a big firm, they're going to have even a lot more than we do. They will have people there who, as he told me at Debevoise, they actually have an advanced Google course, 12:30 every Thursday, to teach everyone advanced Google tricks. So looking at it is to open your eyes to what you have available and to see with what you have available what works best for you. Okay, if people are interested.